The Wolf of Main Street podcast is brought to you by Enchanting Escapes by Lori. You can find them at enchantingescapesbylori.com. Lori and her team are there to help plan your dream vacation. So whether that's going to Disney, Universal, or any other destination, the Wolfpack can leave the details to Lori and the team and enjoy the beauty of your destination without the hassle of the planning. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, but Wolf, why in the world would I pay someone to plan my vacation? You're all about these tips, these Wolf tips of giving us easy ways to get around the parks, easy ways to try to find it affordable. Well, luckily, it is completely free to utilize. I actually utilized it for my last trip. Lori was able to ensure that we were getting everything possible in terms of discounting, and it didn't cost me a dime. So Lori was actually able to save me money as well, price monitoring and applying different deals or promotions to my reservation as time went on from the day that I booked until the day that I arrived in the park. Disney actually pays these travel agents to take care of your every travel need, and they're also there to deal with any problem that may arise while you're visiting the parks. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you can actually spend more time in the parks or wherever it is that you prefer to be while Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. If you're interested in a free quote, when you speak to Lori, let her know the Wolf sent you by simply using the promo code Wolf and head over to enchantingescapesbylori.com and let Lori help you start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.enchantingescapesbylori.com. Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words, and one thing we talk a lot about on this show is making sure that you remember it. So whether you're coming to Florida to visit Disney or one of its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will probably never forget. I mean, think about it. All those wonderful trips that you've had in the past, there's probably a picture that helps you remember one of the best moments of that entire trip. So, with that in mind, visit HinsonPhotography.com or call John at 386-478-8099. And when you get on the phone with John, let him know that the Wolf sent you by utilizing the code word WOLF. You'll actually be able to receive the best possible pricing for your dream vacation portraits. So again, that's www.HinsonPhotography.com or call John directly at 386-478-8099. And again, let them know the Wolf sent you. Hiya pals, and welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Main Street, and I am live on all of your favorite listening apps like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and of course, our main platform, Anchor. Wolfpack, I have some apologizing to do, but at the same time, it's not really an apology. It's just, well, it kind of is. I'm sorry that I've missed the past couple weeks. I spoke really highly of my grandfather in a previous episode, the most recent episode that was released, about him and It's a Small World. And I am sad to inform the Wolfpack community that a gentleman that I spoke about in that episode passed away almost a few days later after releasing that. And it was really hard for the family and for me, and it certainly just put a damper on my entire mood, and I don't know that I would have been able to put out the best possible product for you over those couple weeks. And even now, just sitting here talking about it is kind of hard. but I do just owe you an apology. I didn't put out anything or really talk about it amongst the show and things of that nature. But family is, in my opinion, always going to come first. And this was started as a hobby. This was started as something that was just supposed to be fun, and I realize I have a small little community who really appreciates new content every week, and I have tried really hard over the long term to make that happen. And you know, if I'm being honest, there have been moments where this podcasting thing has felt like more of a job than anything else, and I think there are some people within the community and the podcasting community who take it way too seriously. And maybe that's just my own thoughts, and I'll probably get in trouble for thinking them. And that brings me to another whole point, because I didn't want to spend too much time during this podcast, you know, talking about how I was really feeling or how I was really interacting or whatever. But I'm never not going to be who I am. And I hope that the people who listen to this show can appreciate that. I will always be, I'll always be real with you. I'll always give you my honest thoughts on things. And, you know, for me, I think it's super important to be who you are, regardless of who's watching, regardless of who you think is listening. I've lived by that sort of golden rule for a long time. Be yourself, be who you think can be, what you say. And I think it was my mom, or maybe it was even my dad, who used to say, if you have something to say, say it, but don't regret it. You can think about that in so many different ways and contexts. Don't regret not saying something, because it may just eat you alive, or don't regret saying something that may bite someone else in the butt. But whatever you end up saying or whatever you end up not saying, don't regret it. And I have lived by that theory and that rule for a long time. And there have been plenty of instances where I've gone on to regret what I've said. And there have also been plenty of times where I've regretted not saying the things that I should have. So we're all about kindness here on this show, and I just want to continue that sentiment. Be kind to the people that are around you. Be kind to the people that are in your inner circles, in your family. Tell them that you love them, that you care about them. But in the same instance, don't be afraid to speak up and defend yourself. And I think that is so true and so important. And let's get on to the show. I think I just wanted to get that out of my system. So we've got some lines to determine how long our lines are. I'm gonna get through Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios today. We're going to be really ambitious, because next week we have a returning guest who I didn't think would ever get on in the first place, and I most certainly didn't think that this person would ask to be on again. So Jennifer, the Facebook user, is going to come back and reprise her role as the guest on the Wolf of Main Street podcast, and she and I just went on a trip. I'm going to leave most of the details out of it, because I know how badly she wants to talk about our most recent trip. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of parking, which is good. We ate a lot of really great food. And yeah, she's got some great stories to tell. So do I. So it'll be a lot of fun to interact with you and tell you about our most recent trip. And I'm excited that she's coming back onto the show. She has kept me sane throughout these past few weeks with everything going on with my grandfather and my family. And we also lost my great uncle in the process as well. So a lot of stuff going on. And Jenna's been my rock, my pusher in the right direction, because I certainly had a few days where I was nothing but sorrow and sadness. So I just want to thank Jen, my wife, for being her and being pretty incredible. So let's head over. If I had a live stream going on, which I don't, because I'm constantly editing and making sure that I'm putting out the best product. But if I had a live stream going on right now, I'd tell you, I'd be asking you, hey, where does everybody want to start? Do you want to start over at Epcot? Do you want to start over at Hollywood Studios? Or maybe you want to get Animal Kingdom out of the way, which is kind of how I feel right now. Like, Animal Kingdom is just one of those parks still to me that it's still a half day park. You know, at 2 o'clock when park hopping starts, you can head over there and get most of your big main attractions done pretty quickly. Now, I realize when I say that, and I don't want to dissuade anyone from going there and spending the entire day. You certainly should. You should take it in for what it is. It is a huge park. There is so much to see and do with all the animals there. But in terms of the rides, which I think I'm really and my wife is too, we're ride people. Like, we go for the attractions and then we try to go on to the next thing. And that just keeps us busy. It keeps us moving. It keeps us entertained in the way that we like to be entertained. And not everyone is going to be the same in that respect. So however you decide to take in the parks, take them in for the way that you want to. All going back to that main theme of be you, be the person that you want to be. Don't just say, well, the wolf only spends about a couple hours here and then he's off doing something else. Like, don't take what I have to say for gospel, but do take what I have to say as maybe something to consider when you're there. So I'm going to start at one of my favorite attractions. It's one of my favorite roller coasters, and that is Expedition Everest. I think that for me, when I think of all of the roller coasters within the Disney realm, this is by far my favorite. I think that it provides a great story. And I know I talk a lot about the story, but the story for Expedition Everest is one that is very, very cool. And I really, really enjoy it. And it all sets sort of the expectation for what you're going into. So for me, I think I would wait for the queue alone just because it is so unique and so well thought out. But I'm waiting for Expedition Everest somewhere in the 70-minute range. I think that if it's at 75, I'm going to wait. Once it hits 80, I think that's too much. I'm probably going to just wait and for it to sort of level out and go back down to 60. But very rarely will you see me waiting for 80 minutes to get on Expedition Everest. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there who would wait an hour and a half to 2 hours to get on this ride. But I know, based on how many times I've been down there, this is not something that you need to wait that long for. It will level out, whether it's during the beginning of the day or during the evening. That will get down to a 25 to a 30 minute wait. So if you are there and the park is really busy and you see 60 to 75 minutes, just know that's still a respectable amount of time to be waiting for this ride. If you get anything less, perfect. Wait. It's well worth it. If you get anything over that, you may just want to think about it a little bit more before you jump right in. With that said, I'm going to head over to what I think is the best attraction within Disney in terms of, you know, no one else has this, no one else can do this. And that is the Safari. I truly love the Safari for everything that it offers. And I think that I almost wish it was a little bit longer or you got a little bit more time to really take in some of the scenes. However, you never know if there's an ostrich or a giraffe standing in the middle of the road. You very well may have a longer ride than others. So I love the Safari. Again, I sort of love the storyline, the elephant tusks when you're going through and into elephant territory is very, very unique and very cool. But again, sort of like Jungle Cruise over at Magic Kingdom, your tour guide really helps set the expectation here of what the ride's going to be. If they're fun and energetic and they have a lot of information, it becomes all that much more fun to learn about and hear the different stories and things that, you know, they have to share. So Safari, I am more than likely going to be waiting for this also in that 70 minute range, 70, 75. I'm perfectly okay with waiting. Once it hits 80, again, just with the knowledge that I have, I'm not going to be waiting anything longer than maybe 75 minutes because I know that it'll level out at some point. It's just a matter of keep an eye on the app and ensuring that you got everybody moving in the right direction and you're all on the same page. That'll be really, really helpful for when you get over to Animal Kingdom and trying to determine, you know, some of the rides and the wait times. So let's head over to Navi River. So this is a ride I think that gets a lot of unnecessary hate. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It's unnecessary the amount of people who dislike it. I think that's maybe a good way to put it. And we actually rode this a couple times on our most recent trip. And I think we took it in a little bit differently each time. You know, we tried to take it in for what it is, how beautiful it is, the scenery, the different, you know, movements that sort of come along with the boat and where they want you to look as opposed to what you can be looking at. Like if you look up, there's some really cool scenery going on with what appear to be frogs, but they're not frogs. They're from Pandora. The animatronic at the end is super unique and super, I wish I had a better word for it, but it's just super. It's really, truly incredible. And I do think at times about how if something like that were on Expedition Everest that was so full and moving and free flowing, how much that would change the spectrum of Everest. The, you know, the Disco Yeti just doesn't quite do it for me anymore. So I would love to see that revived. I know that would be a whole big project and a whole lot of money that just doesn't seem feasible. But the animatronic work in the Navi River ride is absolutely incredible. But for this, I'm still only waiting about 30 minutes for this ride. I'm sorry, but this particular attraction just doesn't wow me. It's not something that I need to do. So with that said, if it's at 30 minutes or less, I'm definitely going to get in line and take it in. And I probably, truthfully, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, before I went on this most recent trip, I would have told you that I wouldn't have probably waited for it at all. I'm sorry, Marky Mark. But it's not something that I needed to wait for and get on after that first couple times that I went on it. It lost its luster for me. But what I will say is, again, I found a little bit of a new appreciation for it and definitely enjoyed it this most recent trip. So about 30 minutes and that's it. Flight of Passage. So we're still in Pandora, everybody. Kind of jumping around a little bit, trying to make it a little bit more fun. But Flight of Passage is without a doubt the most incredible attraction within Disney. It certainly provides a lot of things that I really enjoy about Soarin' and makes them a lot more intense. but for this, I'm waiting 90 minutes. It's an absolutely breathtaking ride. I think if you find yourself looking at 120 minutes, I do think that it's still worth the wait there. But for me, I'm trying to find that sweet spot of 90 minutes or less. But I definitely think for a first-time goer or for someone who has never been on this attraction, this is definitely something that you're going to want to wait for. 120 minutes. 240 is a bit extreme, in my opinion. I think you can go ride, you know, whether that's Everest or the Safari, and you'll come back and it'll probably level out somewhere to about 120 minutes. I think that's more realistic of a time wait period, but there are most certainly people who see 240 minutes and they're ready to wait the entire time. Not this guy. The Kali River Rapids, so I'm heading back over towards Everest when I make this move. But what I will say is, this is one of those rides that if you want to get soaked and you're cool with that and you're okay with some soggy underwear and some soggy shoes and some soggy socks throughout the course of the entire day, because while you do warm up, there's still that staleness that sort of sits with you. I'm only going to do this attraction early in the morning when it's very hot out and I know that I'm going to dry out to like the best of my ability. And like I mentioned earlier, I don't spend a whole lot of time at this park to begin with. So if I do it early and it's walk on, and you know, maybe I get lucky and I'm not totally drenched, this is actually still really a fun attraction. But if you're in the middle of the day and you get soaked and you have more plans, you know, sort of laid out for that park, oh, it can be miserable. That is just the truth. So unless this is early morning and it's walk on, I'm avoiding this ride altogether. Let's head over to Dinosaur. Now, I give the Dinosaur-themed area the most crap of anyone. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I think it could be completely rethemed into just about anything else. However, I will say this. The ride Dinosaur does provide a really unique story. It's got a great queue. I mean, you walk through, you see the dinosaur bones, you see the big dinosaur in the center community area there. But for this, for me, this ride is just one of those that I wish that they could just make a little bit better or change it up just a little bit. For Dinosaur, I'm waiting about 45 minutes for this. And so lastly, let's just talk about Tough to Be a Bug. Again, this is one of those attractions that I just don't think that I'm going to be spending a whole lot of time really trying to invest in a line. So unless it's walk-on or 10 minutes, I mean, usually when you get up to like the front, you have to wait for the next show to end anyway, and that is usually about 10 minutes to 10 to 15. So I'll just say this, as long as I'm getting up to the front, I'm not waiting in a huge line, and I'm getting into the next show, I'm usually pretty good with this ride. I do think it's really cute. I do think it's a little dated. I do think that they could shift it up and maybe do something a little bit different within this area. I would love to see them do more of a documentary style. I'd love to see the people at National Geographic overtake this ride and make it something a little bit more unique, a little bit more outstanding. Because I do really feel as though the National Geographic aspect of Disney, I think it lacks, especially in the parks. And I do think that the most logical place to bring in something like that would be Animal Kingdom. And whether that's bringing it over to Dinosaur, or even if it's just this one little segregated area of Tough to Be a Bug and replacing it, I do think that that would bring a whole different dynamic. I do think that there are cool things that they could do within that. I'm always about sort of the art behind things. So maybe you could be a photographer and you're trying to get the most beautiful photos for National Geographic. And you have different scenes throughout. And, you know, the 3D aspect of it could be really cool. Like you have a snow leopard jumping out to the audience, or I just think that there are certain things that you could do, and, you know, maybe even incorporate, there's some new animated character that could be, you know, a friend of all the animals or just something. I do think that would be really neat and really different, and some, it would provide maybe just a different perspective on animals, the importance they have to living with the land. But that's just a thought. So that is Animal Kingdom. We're going to jump over to Hollywood Studios next. Tower of Terror is going to be our first stop. Now, for me, I really enjoy Tower of Terror for what it offers. However, I don't like to wait a whole long time for it because it starts to build up the anxiety of going up and down very, very quickly. So if this is somewhere between 30 to 35 minutes, I'm usually getting on. I'm usually looking for the 13-minute mark where I can just walk up, walk on, and get off as quickly and as efficiently as possible. But yeah, I would say 35 minutes is the max for me here. And that's simply because if I wait any longer than that, I start to get really nervous and I start to talk myself out of it. So there's that. The next one being Rockin' Roller Coaster, which I know my wife Jen will have a lot to say and talk about during our next podcast. But for me, Rockin' Roller Coaster, yeah, it's sort of on the same idea as Tower of Terror. It's got to be walk on. I've got to be getting on really quickly and getting off really quickly as well. So I'm excited to tell everybody about my story on Rockin' Roller Coaster next week when I have Jen on. So, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. This is a ride that has slowly become one of my favorites within this park. It is absolutely beautiful. The imagery, the artwork, it is absolutely breathtaking. Some of the, you know, just artwork that's within it, and the movements and the animation, it's top notch. So, I am ready and set to put this at a 60-minute wait for me. If it's 60 minutes, I will get up and I will wait. And I would even venture to say 75 minutes, but I think 60 is really the end point for me. Muppet Vision. Here is an attraction that I had not done in, oh goodness, probably since our first trip. I think I remember asking Jen on our most recent trip here, you know, when was the last time we did this? And she said, I think we've only done it once or twice. And I giggled and laughed almost the entire time through Muppet Vision. It was really a lot of fun. But similar to Tough to Be a Bug, I find this attraction to be one that if I'm not getting into the next show, I don't want to wait 20, 30 minutes to see this. I want it to be sort of walk on. And I do think that throughout the course of an entire day, you're going to have opportunities where it is, you know, you're getting into the next show and you're not waiting for that long. So, yeah, definitely something to check out. I really, really dug this show when we most recently did it, which was just about a week ago. So a lot of fun, Muppet Vision. I really, really enjoyed it. It's low key. I would probably have told you a month ago that Muppet Vision could leave and I wouldn't really care. But Muppet Vision earned its place. I really have to say it became one of my favorite attractions of the day. I was giggling and laughing, and it was just a lot of fun. So Star Tours, that brings us over to Star Tours. This is probably one of the older rides, one of the few attractions that's still alive and kicking. And I enjoy Star Tours. I think that, the fact that you get on there and you never know what exactly you're going to see, and they have such updated scenes, really adds to that experience. It makes it a lot more fun. So I do think that for Star Tours, I'm waiting 45 minutes. I've seen it a lot less than that. So 45 minutes is probably my max here. And yeah, I'm utilizing my time wisely if it's, 60 minutes, 75, which I've certainly seen it there as well. So something to consider there for Star Tours. So let's head over to Slinky Dog. We're heading over to the Toy Story area, which is a pretty cool area. I do wish that they had a little bit more just in terms of shade and eating. That Woody's Lunchbox fills up quickly. You've got to make your order 2 days ago in order to get your food for today. So I am heading over towards Slinky Dog first. I am going to wait up to 75 minutes for this ride easily. It's a great roller coaster. In my opinion, it's the best roller coaster within this park, which I know I'll get some flack for because everyone loves Rockin' Roller Coaster. So Slinky Dog, 75 minutes. This is an awesome coaster. It's smooth. It's interactive. It's very, very cool. So, yeah, 75 minutes. Let's head over to Alien Swirling Saucers, which I'm not really too sure why they named it that because of the acronym that comes along with it. But Swirling Saucers, I'm not waiting too long for this, folks. This is just a glorified spinny ride that just doesn't do it for me. But I'll wait 25 minutes or walk on for this, 25 minutes being the max here. It's just not something that I care for. So it doesn't mean I don't love Disney, because I feel like that's what everyone, gets afraid of. Oh my God, he doesn't like Alien Swirling Saucers, so he doesn't like Disney. I do. I love Disney, but I don't necessarily agree with every single ride that they have in the parks, or even area. See Dinosaur area in Animal Kingdom for more examples. Toy Story Mania. Now, here is one of my favorite attractions in terms of competitiveness. I love this ride. Actually, Brian Lee gave me a great tip the last time that he was on in order to get a higher score than normal. I scored my best score of all time during this most recent trip, and that was really a lot of fun. So I'm waiting up to 60 minutes for Toy Story Mania, and I don't care if anyone else comes with me. I'm going to wait. Millennium Falcon. Now, here's a ride that is, it's very similar to Star Tours, but it's interactive in the fact that you get to either be the pilot or the engineer or the shooter or the gunner, excuse me. So, I found this to be a lot of fun, and I do think, however, that it needs some updating. It needs another scene. It needs something else to do it, because getting the crates of Axiom, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. Like, I'd love for there to be a secondary mission or even a third mission. And if I get Axiom every time I go, at least if I know that there's a second and a third option, I'll be happy about that. But I do think it needs a little bit more. But for this ride right now, I'm waiting 45 minutes. I've seen it higher than that. I've seen it lower than that. I definitely think that you're capable of getting one of those, this particular attraction earlier than the 45 minute mark. So be on the lookout for that. Last but not least is Rise of the Resistance. Now, this obviously has the virtual queue. And during our most recent trip, I won't steal all of Jen's thunder, but she was there for the entire week. Every single time that she went to Hollywood Studios, she was able to get it in the morning. So I guess the right way to put this is we're waking up at 6:50, 6:55 to ensure that we get our ticket on our boarding group onto this particular attraction. We love this attraction. It's absolutely breathtaking. It is incredible, the amount of detail that goes into it. And yeah, we're getting up early for Rise. So there's no real wait time here, but I'm definitely getting up early because I want to be, one of the top 70 boarding groups for the day. So, and during our most recent trip, that's what we were. So, all right, that does it for Hollywood Studios. We are getting right through this. How long is your line? That's what she said. Let's see. Let's head over to Epcot to finalize this, and then we will go about the rest of our day. And I'm excited to bring in next week, Jennifer. So I want to start at the Spaceship Earth, because I think when you walk through Epcot, that is the first thing that you see, the big geodesic sphere, the big golf ball, and that is Spaceship Earth. I love, 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 love this ride. I enjoy creating my future and the photo that they take, and just going through the history of our way of communicating. I think it is really incredible when you start to break it down and you start to look at all the different historical points and details that they go into it. I also love the smells within this attraction. So listen, this attraction is so underrated. It's so under-discussed. Spaceship Earth may just be one of the best rides ever. And I really do look forward to seeing what they're going to do next with this attraction. I hope that they bring in some new elements. I hope that they bring in some new, you know, understanding and update a little bit. But I think that for the most part, the things that they have in there really do match the times. So once you get past what I think is Steve Jobs and his, you know, garage working on a computer, I'll be curious to see what they do with that space. That'll be the space for me that I'll be curious to see if they do anything further to progress the story. I do think that since Steve Jobs made the home computer, so much has still evolved and changed. So I'll be curious to see what they do with that. And I'll almost be curious if they do something to incorporate like a small film. Like when you get into the world and they show the glow, the earth, you know, they show Earth, I'll be curious to see if they do something in there. I think there is something that they can do movie wise to present how fast and how ever changing communication is, and it's growing. But I'll be curious to see what they do with that. I really do hope that they bring some new elements in and update in the computer area. I hope they update the outfits for both of the scientists in there. I think that'll be really helpful for both of them as well. Let's head over to Nemo. Actually, did I say how long I was waiting? I'm waiting 30 minutes for Spaceship Earth. Again, I love this attraction, but I'm not waiting 45, 50. I don't think I've ever seen it that high, but 30 minutes is the max here. If it's more than that, I promise you that at another point throughout the course of the day, it'll be much less. So 30 minutes for me. I'm heading over to Finding Nemo, and I enjoy this ride as well. Anyone who's been listening to the show long enough knows that I really enjoy underwater life. I don't know that I could really get in the water or be an oceanographer, which I thought would be my job when I got older. When I was a kid, that was like my dream. I wanted to be an oceanographer. But I'm way too afraid of sharks to take that up. So I do love Nemo for what it offers. I love the story. I love the song. I'm going to probably wait about 30 minutes for this one as well. We're heading over to my favorite attraction of all time, which is Soarin'. I get over very much so the fact that the Eiffel Tower leans a little bit. I'm over that. And I love this attraction, and I think it's one of the best ones for me in Epcot. So Soarin', I'm waiting 90 minutes for this, easy. I do know very easily that I can get on at 75 or even 60, but if it's at 90 minutes, I'm still getting on to wait for this attraction just based off of how much I really, truly enjoy it. So that's me for Soarin'. Living with the Land, this is a walk-on attraction. You shouldn't have to wait too much longer than that. However, I would say 10 to 15 minutes for me. If it's 10, 15 minutes, I'm definitely getting on. This is a relaxing, slow-moving ride through areas that intrigue me. I'm always fascinated by different things, but the fact that they make so much of the food that they utilize within the parks there is really, really unique. So let's head over to Figment. Again, another attraction that I really enjoy. I'm waiting about 25 minutes for this one, just simply because I know that if it's any longer than that, I know that I can hit it up at a slower point throughout the course of the day. All right, we got three left. So we have Test Track, which is, for me, I'm sitting at 60 minutes. However, the big wolf tip here, and I think we've had many people discuss this before, is getting over to that single rider line. You know, whether you're with your friends, your family, this is an easy ride to not necessarily have to sit next to everybody. And again, that's maybe just my opinion. And a lot of people will say, well, I want to sit next to my friend. That's fine. You can, but you don't have to enjoy the ride and take it in. There used to be a little bit of an interactive element to this, and it's not necessarily as prominent anymore. So I do think a single rider line can justify everybody getting on, enjoying the attraction in a very quick and efficient manner. So that's just my opinion. Let's head over to Frozen. This is a cute ride, and I definitely enjoy it. I don't necessarily remember Nordstrom that much, so I don't have all these pent-up feelings of, oh my god, I miss Nordstrom, so I don't have that to deal with. But what I will say is I'd still wait about 60 minutes for Frozen. Last but not least is Mission Space. This is going to fall into the category of the Cali River Rapids for me. Also Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. If this thing isn't walk on, walk off, I'm all good. I don't care for this ride at all. I've gotten sick every time I've been on, and it's just not something that I'm actively pursuing when I go to Epcot. So that is without a doubt one of those attractions that I can easily skip throughout the course of my entire trip, and I will be completely okay with it. All right, Wolfpack, that is it. That's it for today. I am, again, just really sorry that I missed the last couple of weeks. I wanted to take some time to enjoy my vacation with my wife and spend some time with her. You know, what's funny is we used to both have Tuesdays off, and it was our day to get things done or go do something fun, or, you know, maybe it was just going to do the groceries or something around the house. We would do it together. And when Jen's schedule changed, we didn't necessarily have that day to really interact during the week. And it became Sunday was the day that we tried to cram everything into, you know, sort of one day. So it was nice to spend some time with my wife over the course of the past few days and just enjoy Disney for everything that we love it for. And the one thing that I'm continually going to remind everyone is Disney is done differently by everyone. So there are some people who like to go and enjoy the pool. There are some people who like to go and enjoy the rides. There are some people who just want to walk around the park, walk around the different resorts. And all of that is completely okay. And I do hope that with this How Long Is My Line gives you just a little bit of insight, a little bit of an opportunity to see and maybe discuss amongst your own family, your own friends, how long you would wait for something. You know, is your long longer than mine? Is your line longer than mine? Like I said, this to me was just an opportunity to get back in front of the microphone after a couple of weeks where I have not wanted to sit in front of this microphone and say much of anything. So, I appreciate everyone who's been listening. I appreciate everyone who reached out and was sad to hear about my grandfather. He was a phenomenal person and loved Disney. We recreated, and I think I'm going to use it. We recreated one of the photos that we found of him at Epcot. So we recreated it to the best of my ability. And, you know, my grandfather was a really great guy. And this most recent trip was an opportunity to not only spend some time with my wife, but also think about some of the wonderful things that my grandfather did for me throughout the course of my life growing up. And I, again, just really appreciate everybody that's still listening and still cares. I've had some difficulties with the show just in general. And it's been hard. And And I feel like I do this every few episodes. I get really real with you folks and maybe say more than I should or more than I have to. But yeah, I will continue to do that because I think it's important, not only for me, but for you too. You should know a little bit about your host and how he's feeling and how he's doing. And for those of you that care, and yeah, that's something that I think you should know. So, as always, Wolfpack, I want you to be kind. It's crazy. It seems as though we're coming out of this pandemic. I know I haven't talked a whole lot about it, but over these past few weeks, new guidelines have started to come out. We definitely are going to talk a little bit about that next week in the episode with Jen, who had the firsthand experience to take off her mask at Disney World for the first time in many, many years. And or what feels like many, many years. It really hasn't. It feels like years, but it's only been maybe a year and a half, maybe a year and a couple months. But it was certainly an odd experience. I got the phone call about that. And I'm excited to share that with you when Jen is able to come on next week. And yeah, be kind, wash your hands, but it seems like we're coming out of that, but still remember your hygiene, you know, wash your hands, damn it. And, as always, we will see you real soon. Thanks, Wolfpack, for hanging out with me again today.